Reformed Church.
Thank you so much, Lord. Thank you so much, Jesus, for making us a new creation. We are new creations, and contrary to what many may think that means, Lord, we are new creations, which means that we are not like this world. That means we don't have to go through things like this world goes through them. We have new things, and all things are of you now, Father. We're exactly like you. We're not like the world. We're not like unsaved friends. We're not like unsaved family. We're not like the people that have gone before us, Lord. So if there's something, Lord, that was hereditary for our parents or grandparents or whatever it is, I thank you so much, Father. We're new creations now. The point of being a new creation is that you're not of the old one anymore, which includes you're not of your physical parents anymore in that sense. You've been made something different now. You're not of your unsaved family or friends anymore. God has cut you off from those things and separated you unto himself. And thank you, Jesus. I think this is 2 Corinthians 6. When the Lord called out to us, he said, come out from them, touch not the unclean thing, and I'll be a father unto you. And I thank you, Lord, that we have come out from the unclean things of this world, and we have been separated, and you have become our father, which means that we have partaken of your likeness now. We are like you now. We don't have to relate to the way that other people go through things, Lord. I think sometimes the one of the biggest temptations when you go through something is the way that you've seen that situation go for other people before, or maybe even yourself before. Maybe situations that you go through or are going through, maybe you've seen other people go through that same thing. Maybe you've seen your parents go through the same thing or friends. Maybe you've gone through that same thing before. And there is a temptation by just being naturally minded to see the way that you've gone through a situation before or other people have gone through this situation before and expect the same results for yourself. But I thank you, Father, there would be no use in being made a new creation if we still had to go through things the old way. Thank you, Lord. We are a new creation, and even if we have experienced a situation before, that does not mean that that situation needs to be repeated because we're growing in our knowledge of the new creation we are, which means there are new levels of glory that we enter into, Lord, not like the old, not like the former, but new levels of glory even in our lives because we're taking advantage of what we have inside. Thank you, Lord. We do not need to expect for our life. No person here, no person listening online needs to expect for their life what they have seen in their parents or their grandparents or even further down the line. You don't need to expect in your life the way that you've seen your friends go through things or deal with situations or family or even yourself before. God has new things for you because you're a new creation in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away. Behold, that means look. He's trying to get your attention. Behold, all things have become new. Notice he doesn't say, behold, old things. He says, behold, all things have become new. Meaning the part of this verse that you have to get adjusted to is the new things that have come. We're well aware sometimes of the old things that have passed away, but he says, behold, all things have become new, because he's trying to get your attention on the new things. Because that's the part that you are not adjusted to yet. You already are brand new, but you're not adjusted to it yet, and God wants you to get used to being new so that you can have a confident expectation for your future, that you can go through things in a new way that you have not gone through them before. Let me just real quick share on this. We can leave the lights the way they are. Even, you know, I said this one time with even like resurrection. I said, you know, you at some point you got to raise your first dead person, from the grave. At some point, you have to do that at some point. But sometimes, you know, maybe you've been to a bunch of funerals before, and it's kind of always gone the same way. Well, there's a temptation to then, for the next person that you see that dies, which God forbid, but for the next person that you see that dies, that now you just programmed yourself to the old ways just because you've experienced that before, so now you program yourself that way. Or, you know, you've read your Bible a million times, and you haven't really felt like God's spoken to you, so you'll program yourself to say, well, the next time I spend time with the Lord, it's going to be just the same. Or, you know, again, you go through, you've prayed over your body and you don't feel well, so therefore you're just programmed that, oh no, now this has to go the same way over again just because it's gone this way up until now. At some point, you need to break that mold. At some point, you see your first healing. At some point, or your second or third or whatever, at some point, you start seeing the transformation that God ordained for you to walk in. But just because you haven't seen it thus far, you cannot take, you know, this, you know, history and make that sort of a precedent for the future. You can't take the things that you've gone through before and make an example for how your life's going to go for the rest of your life. No, that's the point of being transformed. The Bible says from glory to glory. Again, glory to glory means from one level of glory to another level of glory in your life. Not that you're going from glory to glory. You're already created in Christ Jesus, brand new. So you're not developing as a believer. But what you experience, how it comes out in one wave of glory to a greater wave of glory to a greater wave of glory. And that's a slow process because the Bible says the gospel is revealed from faith to faith. That means as your mind goes from one level of faith, understanding of Jesus, to another level of faith, another level of understanding of Jesus, therefore it makes sense that in your life you get the glory in you, it gets released from one level to another. And if that process is true, that you enter into, as you behold Jesus, that you enter into more and more glory, then that means what you've experienced before doesn't matter. Because it's a new level of glory that God has for you. It's a new level. Then your next step can be a new level of glory. So your next step is not gonna, or doesn't have to be, if you choose this, your next step doesn't have to be like the former steps. The next year of your life doesn't have to be like the former years of your life. And guess what? If you go through the next year of your life and it looks very similar to the former years of your life, that's still not an excuse to adhere to the old things. Because you'll stay there for the rest of your life. You see, you know, here's your really decision here, is that you can make your mind up to say, Lord, I don't care what I see. Just like Abraham, I'm not going to consider what's in my body right now. He said that Abraham didn't consider his body now dead or the deadness of Sarah's womb. But instead, he gave thanks to God and was strengthened giving glory to God, strengthened in faith giving glory to God. And so you can make a decision to say, you know what, Lord, I believe that you have new levels of glory for my life that aren't like what I've experienced before or my peers have experienced before. You have new things for me to enter into, and I'm not going to go by what I see. I'm not going to go by what I've seen in the past, and I'm also not going to make this commitment like, well, Lord, let's try this out for a little bit and see if it works. No, you're not going to try it out. You just have to be convinced of the truth so that even when you start endeavoring to get to know the Lord, and you don't see it work out, you have to have a commitment to the Lord to say, you know what, your word is true, Lord. And even when I don't see it work out, I'm going to persevere and not consider what I see, but I'm going to consider your word and what you say because I'm convinced you have a new level of glory for me to enter into. So even when it's not working out right now, I know that as long as I'm beholding Jesus, I am being, present tense, transformed from glory to glory. Even before I actually see the evidence of it, I am being transformed and I'm headed in the right direction. If I have my eyes locked on the cross and what Jesus did for me, I'm headed in the right direction. And the years to come, Lord, I know if I do this diligently, the years to come are not going to be like the former years. The things ahead of me are not going to be like the things behind me. And they're not going to be like what everyone else is experiencing. I can experience better things. Hebrews 6 says, we are convinced of better things concerning you. How beautiful is that? He starts talking about unsaved people that fell away from the truth. And he says, but we're convinced of better things concerning you. And God is convinced of better things concerning you if you'll be diligent in faith and getting to know Jesus. Better things than you've experienced before, and for sure better things than your peers or other people have experienced before. So don't judge where you're going and the transformation God's bringing you into by where you've been before, because then no sense in saying glory to glory if we're just going to think like everything goes as it's always gone before. God has new things for you to enter into because you've got all that new inside of you already. So don't get attached. Don't get attached to the way things have been. Don't get attached to the old things you see in your peers, because those are not the things God's bringing you into. So don't get used to it. Don't get comfy. If you'll be diligent and seek the Lord, regardless of what you see, and just get that determination on the inside and say, I don't care. Listen, it's like if you've repeated a circumstance over and over and over again 1,000 times, you have to get a kind of commitment to where you say, Lord, I could go through this circumstance for the next 20 years, and that's still not going to break my focus on you. Now, you're not going to if you actually keep your focus on Jesus, but you have to have that kind of commitment, though. You have to have the kind of commitment to say, I'm going to believe in resurrection if everybody around me died. I still have that commitment to resurrection because my commitment to it is not because I saw it, it's because you said it. Same thing for your own circumstances. You have to have a kind of commitment to the Word of God that you say, you know, Lord, it's true because you said it, not because I saw it. So I'm willing, Lord, to believe you on this and to adhere to what I know is true because you've taught me. I'm willing to adhere to that. If I never saw it, until you came back, if I never saw this, I'm willing to believe that this is true. I'm willing to believe in immortality. I'd take it to the grave. I would take it to the grave, believing in immortality. Now, I thank God that if you believe, the whole point here is that you won't experience that. But that level of commitment to where if I see nothing, no change, I'm still believing it. That has to be that level of commitment. And when you actually commit to that, where you say, you know what, I'm not going by what I see, then you can be Abraham, who goes, people estimate, whatever, 25 years or something like that, from the moment of the Lord giving him a word until he sees his son born and all of that. But that time, he was just being strengthened in faith. But he couldn't have been strengthened in faith if he was considering what he saw, to weigh the Word of God against what he saw. That would have broken him. And if you're gonna weigh truth based on what you see, you ain't going to last 2 seconds. It's going to choke the Word of God out. The cares of this life just choke the Word of God out, choke the seed out in Mark 4. But you have to just be willing to say, no, Lord, I believe you, and I don't care what I see or what I'm going to see in the future. That's not my point of reference here. I'm looking at what you've told me, and because of what you've told me and the gospel and what I know is true about Jesus, you have new things for me. And when you have that level of commitment, you will not, for the rest of your life, I'm promising you, because of the Word of God, I'm promising you that you will not just continue to repeat the same thing over and over again for the rest of your life if you're diligent in the Word of God. Because there is change. When we renew our mind, there is transformation that comes. But it's not going to come if you just kind of keep checking what you see and keep comparing God's Word to what you see, because all you're doing is weakening your faith and weakening your understanding, and you're looking in the wrong place. So I would just encourage you with that. God has new things for you, but we need to have a level of commitment to say, you know what, Lord, I'm going to believe that even if I don't see it or haven't seen it in other people's lives before. God has new things. God has new things for you that you've never seen in anyone's life before. That's a cool thing, right?
We hope you enjoyed this message from Reformed Church. If you have, please share this with someone else and help us get this uncommon truth out to the world. If you'd like to support this good news, you can do so at reformchurch.com/give. Also on our website, you can take advantage of our free messages, articles, and even full discipleship courses. Start reforming your mind now at reformchurch.com.